His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
That's not going to stop me from going down to the Pentagon and praying for our men and women. I just won't be participating in their formal function.
The idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught.
Religious freedom and pluralism necessarily involve discussing, questioning, and even criticizing each other's religions or beliefs.
We need to hear from the pulpit that Christ saved us completely. He's not there to woo us. He's not there to show us how pretty he is. He's done the saving.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
Well, it seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. When healthcare reform finally, at long last, passed, many of the pro-life community saw it as a dark cloud, and with respect to abortion, not good news at all. Yet, there might be a bit of a silver lining. We're going to talk about that. Pro-life attempts to capitalize on the new healthcare laws, and perhaps some wording in there that can be used to restrict abortion in insurance plans or support for abortion in insurance plans. It's Monday, May the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. In the next hour, Pam Fichter joins us from Missouri Right to Life. We'll also talk with her about pro-life legislation in the state of Missouri. Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us from Forward in Faith, a reform group committed to the conservative cause of Anglicanism in North America. We'll talk about the ordination this weekend of the second openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church, USA. And then Gretchen Passantino will be our guest. We'll talk with her about psychic hotlines. Is there any truth to psychic claims? What if this is just pure entertainment? You pay for it, you get your phone bill, you talk to the psychic, you got something off your chest. It's harmless. We'll see what Gretchen has to say about that in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at IssuesETC. Pam Fichter is a regular guest and president of Missouri Right to Life. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Is there a silver lining to what was seen to be the dark cloud of healthcare reform with regard to coverage for abortion?
Well, I don't know that I go so far as to call it a silver lining, but there's certainly a little bit of a door opening here that allows us to protect taxpayer funding of abortion in the federal health insurance exchanges. And so we passed an opt-out. We passed language that would allow Missouri to opt out of funding that in the Senate Bill 793, which passed on the last day of session.
So, what exactly happens here? What's the wording in the existing healthcare legislation that allows this to take place? Actually, restrict abortion, federal funding for abortion. What is it?
Well, there's a part of the federal law that allows states to restrict abortion coverage by private plans that will be operating in the new insurance markets in these new federal health exchanges. And by allowing states to restrict abortion coverage, then that opened the door for the legislation that we were able to that the legislators were able to pass in Missouri this year.
Okay, and what would this actually mean, and what's the end result of this?
Well, the end result is that when these federal health insurance exchanges are formed in Missouri, they will reflect basically what existing Missouri law is. Missouri law currently prohibits insurance coverage for abortion unless they have a separate rider. And so this will allow that Missouri law to be also applied to the federal health care exchanges that will be set up by the new health care reform bill. And, you know, the logic behind that is that these health care exchanges are going to receive taxpayer subsidies. And the legislators did not feel, and certainly we agreed with them, that taxpayers do not want to subsidize abortion coverage. Abortion is not health care, and the taxpayers do not want to subsidize it.
Where does Governor Matt Blunt stand on this?
You mean Governor Jay Nixon?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jay Nixon.
We're not sure. He hasn't made any comment on that yet. So we're waiting to see what his decision will be. And I believe he has till mid-August to decide on that. And he basically has three choices. He can sign it into law, and we're certainly praying that he does, and asking for our pro-life citizens to pray for that as well. He can veto it. If he does, we do have the votes. If the votes stand, we do have the votes for a veto override, or he can just allow it to go into law without any action from him. And so that's certainly an option as well.
I understand that we also have some more good news legislatively in for the pro-life cause in Missouri?
Well, this Senate Bill 793, it contained many, many good pro-life components. And among them is the mandatory ultrasound that we've been working on for 3 years. And this requires that the abortionist offer the mother an ultrasound image of her child 24 hours before the abortion. And the mother has to sign a statement saying that she was offered that. So that's, you know, that is a very, very powerful tool, the technology that shows the mother, the child in the womb, if she can see her baby's heart beating. And we know that where this has been implemented, that the majority of women who see their child's heartbeat that will not choose abortion.
So it does not require an ultrasound per se, but only that the abortionists offer the ultrasound.
Yes, they have to offer it. Ultrasounds are routinely done before an abortion, or before most abortions, because they need to see how the size of the child and to determine which method to use of aborting the baby. But they don't. There's no requirement that they offer that to the mother. And, you know, from what we're told, that quite often they turn that screen away so that the mother cannot see that her baby's heartbeat. So this requires that they offer it to her. And it's, you know, it's kind of common sense to provide the mother with that kind of information on, you know, the life of the womb. Someone, I think, very, very accurately called it the baby auditioning for life. And so we just think that this is a marvelous piece of legislation that will give women more information before they make the life or death decision.
How do you respond to those who oppose this, particularly those in the abortion industry, who say, you know, this really is you're trying to horn in on the decision that should be between the doctor and this woman?
Well, you know, showing her an ultrasound does not make the decision for her. It just gives her more information. And I don't know why anyone would be opposed to someone making an informed decision. Another component of this legislation requires that the mother be told about the development of her unborn child in 2-week increments. You know, a mother making this kind of decision should be allowed to have the information on the child's development so that, you know, when she makes this decision, she has the most information that's available to her.
Some people might be shocked, I mean, if they hadn't been following this, that this kind of stuff isn't routinely or even required by way of discussion with a woman before an abortion is performed.
Yeah, I think it. You know, a lot of people just assume that a woman getting an abortion is treated the same way as someone going in for another surgical procedure, and that's not the case at all. So that's, you know, these types of legislation that allow the woman reflection time. I mean, in 2003 was when the 24-hour reflection period passed, and, you know, just to allow the woman after receiving information on abortion to have some time to reflect on it, just like if you were going to have a hip replaced, which I had a couple of years ago. I mean, you talk to your doctor several times, and you might talk to several doctors, and you consider all of the ramifications of it before making a decision. And, you know, if you go through that kind of preliminary steps prior to having a hip replaced, I mean, shouldn't you go through, at least the – you know, the bare minimum of time to reflect and full information before making a decision that results in life or death for a human being.
With only about 30 seconds, what does it tell you about the opposition that they would oppose the woman seeing an ultrasound image of the baby before the abortion and hearing about that child's development in 2 weeks increments?
Well, you know, we've always said the truth is our best weapon, and I think they're afraid of the truth because they know that it is a living human being. And, you know, for these pro-abortion people who often say they want abortion to be rare, well, here's an opportunity to prove it, and yet they opposed this bill very vigorously. So I think it just it exposes the lie that the abortion industry is constantly repeating that they want abortion to be rare.
Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life. You can find out more about Missouri Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks so much.
When we come back from this break, Bishop Keith Ackerman is going to join us. You may have heard about this. It was 2003 when the Episcopal Church USA decided to elect and then consecrate its first openly gay bishop, Gene Robinson. Worldwide Anglicanism reacted as quickly as they usually do and told the Episcopal Church USA, please practice some restraint. Please don't do this again. Well, 7 years later, they've decided to do it again. And this last weekend, they did. They ordained and consecrated their second openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. What does this say to worldwide Anglicanism? What does it say to Anglicans here in the U.S. and North America who are disturbed the first time it happened? When we come back, we'll talk with Bishop Keith Ackerman of Forward in Faith, a reform group committed to the conservative cause of Anglicanism in North America. Then we'll talk with Gretchen Passantino. Our subject with her, psychic hotlines, mere entertainment, true psychic experience. What should we make of them? We'll be right back. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual Symposium on Catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.